This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Commodore John Barry, the father of the United States Navy.
My name is Asa Crawford. I'm a sailing man. I saw this country born in the year 1775. The colonists had fired the shot heard round the world at the Battle of Lexington. At sea, the battle would begin as soon as the colonies found men to take their ships to sea against the superior British men of war. But His Majesty's Navy tried to discourage the sailors of the colonies.
Let it be known that any naval officer of the British colonies in America who takes up arms against His Majesty's men of war will be summarily hanged for his treasonable act. Let all colonies be warned that...
Some of the men of the colonies took the warning. But not my captain. One winter night, a visitor came aboard our merchant ship, the Black Prince, where we were docked alongside Water Street in Philadelphia. I took the visitor to the captain's cabin.
Yes, Asa.
Gentlemen to see you, Captain.
Oh, come in, sir. You're welcome.
Captain John Barry?
At your service, sir.
My mission is secret. I would speak to you alone.
You may speak freely before Asa. He's been my chief bosun for years. Be seated, sir. I think I know your mission. You're from the Continental Congress.
That is correct. You have offered your services to the Congress, Captain Barry.
I have, sir.
You are aware of the risk?
The British will have to catch me before they can hang me.
I wish others felt as you do. There are some questions. I've been asked to write down the answers.
I understand, sir.
Your age, Captain Barry?
I'm 30, half of that spent at sea.
You are married?
A widower, sir.
Your occupation is captain of a merchant ship. Where were you born, Captain Barry?
I was born in Ireland, but I've called Philadelphia my home from boyhood.
Your religion?
Catholic.
To what country do you owe allegiance to?
To none but the continental colonies of America.
You espouse the revolt against England?
With all my heart and ability.
Excellent. Captain Barry, the Continental Congress accepts your offer of service and appoints you captain in her naval service.
I am honored, sir. What ship do I sail?
A converted merchant ship named after the Battle of Lexington. It is the first vessel purchased and armed by Congress.
Sir, I am doubly honored.
You will recruit your own crew and officers. When you are ready, orders will be sent to you. Captain Barry, as the first officer appointed by Congress, commanding the first fighting ship of the colonies, you'll attract the undivided attention of the British Navy to your capture and death.
Sir, you may inform the members of the Congress that the Lexington will be ready for battle at the earliest possible moment.
As Chief Bosun, I helped Captain Barry round up his crew. That was easy. Their capture would only mean imprisonment. But officers were another thing. They knew their capture meant hanging.
Well, Asa, you were gone a long time. Did you find him?
Every place I stopped along Water Street, Captain, they told me he just left.
That young scallywag. Every port braces for a storm when John Paul Jones arrives. But I do need him for my second in command, Asa.
Well, I left word for him to come here.
All right, then. I only hope he'll sail with us. I'm thinking we can use some of his spirit against the British.
So you've heard of my spree already, Captain Barry. Philadelphia's not the port it once was. You'd think they'd never before seen a sailor on leave.
Well, the war has changed many things.
Does war change a man's nature? It does not. Hasn't changed you. Yeah, it's a strange thing, John Barry. By birthright, I should be a sober Scot, and you a wild Irishman. You suppose the good people above mixed us about in the cradle?
Well, enough of your guessing games, man. Come now. Hmm. I offer you second in command on my ship.
I can accept.
Oh. Well, it's not like you to pass up a scrap.
Oh, well, there's a fight, you'll find John Paul Jones.
Then sail with us on the Lexington.
No, it's too late. Like you, John Barry, I've taken up arms for the colonies.
Good. You have a ship of your own?
No, not yet. But I'll soon be appointed a lieutenant.
What ship?
By a strange coincidence, your old ship, the Black Prince. She's now called the Alfred.
But that's the ship Commodore Hopkins has taken over.
Aye, I'm his second in command. And I'll tell you a secret, John Barry. I think this Isaac Hopkins is not the sailor the Congress people believe he is. Oh, no, he won't last. And while I wish him no ill luck, still I do want a command of my own.
Patience, lad.
Since when has patience been a virtue of John Paul Jones? No, I mince no words, John Barry. I'm no pleased with my present rank. Rank's what opens the door to glory.
Glory is not what we seek in this war.
Show me the man who turns down a chance at glory.
I'm not asking you to turn it down. If it results from fighting for freedom and justice, you deserve glory. I'd welcome it, too. But glory is empty, if sought for itself.
Aye. Freedom and justice are worth fighting for. I'm no denying that. But men do seek glory for itself and the results of the same. Seek glory and you accomplish freedom and justice.
Not always. Personal ambition has been known to turn good men from the path of justice and freedom.
I'll tell you a secret, John Barry. I've never known till now you were that type of man.
What type is that?
Oh, take no offense, Captain. But I've seen men like you. Men who want no credit. That do the job because it must be done. They're the backbone of every organization.
Well, what's wrong with that, man?
Only this. When the men over you find it out, they'll use you for every dirty job they've got. If you're no careful, others will get the glory and you'll be forgotten.
That may be, but as long as the war is won, what does it matter?
We put to sea the night our ship's complement was filled. There was a good breeze, caught our sails and drove us through the darkness down the Delaware to the open sea. As we neared the bay, Captain Barry came to the quarter deck where I'd taken the wheel.
All quiet, Asa?
Aye, Captain.
All the ship's lights out?
I warned the men they'd get bread and water for a month if they showed a light.
They're more likely to get a broadside from the British. The Roebuck is out there somewhere, waiting for us. We don't stand a chance against a man of war with our 14 guns.
Lookouts are posted fore and aft. We'll see her before she does us. Wind's dropping.
Yes, and I don't like it. We have to run. We need a stiff wind. The Roebuck's guns have a greater range than ours.
Coming out to sea now.
Well, keep a sharp lookout.
Captain. There. A light.
Oh, yes. Ah. That's the Roebuck.
He's dead ahead, sir.
Full right rudder, Asa.
Aye, aye, sir.
Very careless of the British to show a light. Either they didn't expect us so soon, or they're overconfident.
Pretty close, sir. He may see us yet.
Steady on your course. We can't turn back now. Who's that?
Ord lookout coming up, sir.
Ship to starboard, Captain Barry.
Keep your voice down.
Aye, sir.
Yes, yes, I see it. Tell the men to lay low until we've passed the Roebuck. And take care you don't make any noise going down.
Aye, aye, sir.
Easy now, Asa.
Aye, aye, sir.
We're directly opposite. I think we're going to make it.
What's that? fool of a lookout. He tripped on the scuttle.
We're in for it now.
Ahoy, then! What a ship are you?
They've heard us. Put the wind behind us, Caesar. We've got to run for it.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Ship ahoy! Come the bell, or we'll fire!
We've got to fire, sir.
No, Caesar. They'll never see us in the dark. They have to up anchor and make sail. Keep to your course.
The wind favored us that night. By morning we were safe. We'd lost the Roebuck. Our general orders were to engage any British ship we could handle, but it was our luck now to pick one of the biggest. Early one morning.
Ship ahoy! Two boys up, starboard bow!
Can you make her out, Asa?
She's a British man of war, sir.
Well, give me the glass. Ah, yes, I've seen that ship before. That's the Edward.
Edward? Shall we run for it, sir?
No. We'll prepare for battle, eh, sir?
Battle it is, sir.
All hands to the battle stations, Mr. Bailey.
All hands, clear the deck for action.
All right, Captain.
Let me know when you're ready to fire.
Aye, aye, sir. Man your gun. Get a move on that.
Edward's heading into it, Captain Barry. Coming faster.
Stay on your course, Asa.
Aye, aye.
When I give you the word, give a full right rudder and bring us broadside back.
Aye.
I want to get the first salvo. Mr. Bailey!
Aye, sir.
Let me know when you're ready.
All my guns manned and ready for action, Captain.
We will give him our first broadside from port, then one from starboard.
Aye, sir. Very good.
We're within range, Captain Barry.
Come on, Mr. Bailey.
Wait. Bring us a little closer. Just a little closer. Now then, Asa. Now, swing us broadside.
Broadside it is, sir.
Mr. Bailey!
Aye, sir!
Fire when ready!
Fire!
Quick, Asa! Bring her about. We'll pretend a smaller target.
Aye, aye, sir.
Steady. He's going to fire.
We took that one over the bow, sir. No damage.
Prepare for a broadside from starboard. Mr. Bailey!
Aye, sir.
What damage did we suffer?
Not it, Captain. Little damage.
Prepare to fire from starboard.
All the guns ready for action, Captain.
Fire!
Fire!
That battle lasted for an hour and 20 minutes. Captain Barry's maneuvering kept the enemy at our mercy. We sustained little damage, but the Edward was shattered. One by one, her guns went out of action. And then...
Take us alongside, Asa.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Bailey!
Aye, sir.
Cease fire!
Aye, aye, sir. Cease fire!
Prepare to board the Edward.
Aye, aye, sir. Man those grappling hooks. Prepare to board the Edward!
The crew of the Edward offered little resistance, and we quickly made them our prisoners. Captain Barry brought his first prize of war to Philadelphia. Seemed as if the whole city turned out to welcome us. Among the crowd was Lieutenant John Paul Jones.
Oh, my man! And can this be the same Captain Barry who didn't want glory?
Why, you young devil, I said I appreciate glory, but I wouldn't seek it for itself.
Well, seek it or not, you've got it. Oh, I envy you, that good man. First officer appointed to the first vessel purchased by the Congress. You took the first Continental flag to victory. Under that flag, you captured the first British ship. And now you bring the first prize of war to Philadelphia.
Aye, the way you say it, lad, I'm impressed myself.
Aye, this is your opportunity, Captain Barry. Profit now by your reputation. Make them give you the orders you want.
But come now, come. Tell me of your own trip.
Oh, not a victory to our credit. And we had a small fleet of ships to your one. But listen to this, John Barry. Congress is no pleased with the way Commodore Hopkins handled the expedition. It said they'll not reappoint him.
Well, what about a command of your own?
I'll get a ship soon. And you can bet your gold buttons I'll match your record yet, Captain Barry.
John Paul Jones was not given a command until late in 1776. But then, as captain, he took his ship far into enemy waters and won himself a reputation for daring and gallantry in action. Meanwhile, Captain Barry was given a new ship, the powerful Effingham. 32 guns. We took over the day our orders were to arrive.
Think of it, Asa. With this ship, we can face almost any vessel the enemy can put to sea.
Nice, sir, she's a fighting ship. We can take her to the shores of Britain.
Well, I'm hoping those will be our orders. We should hear soon. That must be him now. Come in, sir. Come in. Well, we've been expecting you, sir.
Your orders, Captain Barry.
Ah, thank you. You forgive my impatience in opening them now. We're anxious to get underway, sir. Why, but to follow these orders, we'd never leave the Delaware River.
It is here you're most needed, Captain.
Yes, but not even to go to sea.
Captain Barry, I realize it must be a disappointment to you. Were I a sea captain, I too would prefer roaming the seas, seeking out the enemy.
Then why not, sir?
Our enemy is strongest here. No battles to make people talk, Captain Barry. No spectacular victories. But the enemy is moving supplies and ammunition for their land forces. You can do much to cut this supply line and save our army.
I understand, sir.
It's a thankless job, Captain Barry. We know we can entrust it to you. Why do you smile, Captain Barry?
Forgive me, sir. I was remembering some words of advice once given me by a friend. But it's of little matter. The orders will be carried out to the letter.
The following months, Captain John Barry did so much damage to the overwhelming force of enemy supply ships in the Delaware that he was personally commended by General George Washington. But then...
Hey, sir. Give instructions to prepare to anchor and secure ship.
Captain, you mean we're going to stay here?
We've no place to go, eh, sir? The way to the sea is blocked.
I was afraid we'd be trapped in here. They say Washington's army is almost finished. Trapped at a place called Valley Forge.
Yes, yes, they're desperate. Hungry and cold. Seems to me we can do something more useful than stay here aboard a stranded ship.
Oh, we're sailors. What do we know about soldiering?
Well, I think I have a plan which might help. You go among the crew and ask for volunteers, Asa. This will be dangerous. Bring as many as you can to the wharf downstream. I'll make the arrangement.
Here we are, Captain Barry. Whole crew volunteered.
Lads, I thank you for coming. Now, this job isn't easy, but it's necessary. Follow me. There they are. Four boats. Climb in, lads. And man the oars.
Well, these are rowboats, Captain Barry. The British fleet is in these waters. What can we do in rowboats?
Well, maybe not much, Asa, but it's worth a try. Come on, lads. We have a long pull ahead of us. Take turns at the oars and don't become separated.
We rowed all that night in the cold wind with the spray whipping up over our perspiring bodies. We took turns at the oars, and before it grew light...
Hold it, lads.
Enemy ship, Captain Barry. Dead ahead.
Yes. Everybody seems to be asleep on us.
We've still got time to get away.
Oh, this is what we've come for, eh, sir? Pass the word along to the other boats. We're going aboard. Come on, lads. Be quiet now.
What about the crew, Captain?
Up you go, lads. Come on.
Captain. Captain, the ship's deserted.
Take some of the men and go below, Asa. You'll find the crew and the officers down there sleeping. They've heard a ship was coming, but they didn't expect small boats, lad. You'll have no trouble making them prisoner.
When daylight came, I saw another reason why the British didn't expect us. We'd rowed the small boats through enemy waters all the way from Burlington to Port Penn to make our capture. A trick that's never been equaled in naval warfare. But one thing puzzled me.
Is everything ready, Asa?
Aye, Captain Barry. We're ready to make sail. Now that we've captured her, what can we do with her? We can't move up or downstream without being spotted and caught.
We're not going to take this ship back, Asa. We're going downstream a ways and beach her.
After the risk we took?
Well, it's not the ship we want, Asa, but it's what she carries. Food and supplies.
There's enough of that aboard to feed and clothe an army.
Exactly, Asa. And it's for an army. An army of men facing defeat unless they get food and clothing. And if they're defeated, our cause is lost.
There's only one army.
Washington's men at Valley Forge. I've made arrangements for the supplies to be picked up downstream. Make sail, Asa. We don't want to be late for our appointment. An army is waiting at Valley Forge.
Nobody's ever been able to say just how much feeding and clothing the hungry and half-naked troops at Valley Forge meant in the final outcome of the American Revolution. But Valley Forge was the turning point. After that, Washington's men moved on to victory. The British didn't take long to recognize Captain Barry's worth. Wasn't long after that, a messenger from the British Army, protected by a flag of truce, came to Captain Barry's headquarters at Burlington.
Captain John Barry?
I am. What's your message?
Well, sir, the message is private.
Oh, I'll leave, Captain.
Stay where you are, Ace. Speak up, man. What's the message?
I come from Sir William Howe, Commander-in-Chief of His Majesty's Armies and the Colonies.
Oh, yes. I recognize your insignia. What does he want of me?
Sir, he offers you the sum of 20,000 guineas if you will take up arms for His Majesty's cause.
Bless the man. Well, he doesn't lack gall.
You are also offered command of a frigate in His Majesty's Royal Navy as a reward for taking up His Majesty's colors in battle.
Anything else?
That is the message, sir.
Then bring this answer to General Howe. Tell him the command of the whole British Navy would not induce John Barry to abandon the cause of liberty.
Captain Barry commanded a series of fighting ships. The Raleigh, which he was forced to beach after a battle with superior British forces. Then the Alliance, with which he captured the British ships Atlanta and Trepassi. He suffered severe wounds in the battle aboard the Alliance. When he recovered, he was assigned to the risky job of transporting important persons across the ocean. One of these was the Frenchman, Lafayette. Between battles, Captain John Barry managed to find time to fall in love with and marry Sarah Austin, a Pennsylvania girl. During these years, John Paul Jones was building himself a reputation for daring at sea with a series of spectacular victories. But when the old friends met again, Captain Barry saw anger written on the other's face.
Oh, man. It's not like John Paul Jones to scowl. Why, you're acclaimed everywhere for your victory.
What thanks do we get from the Congress? You've seen the rankings?
Of course.
The captains in service, I'm ranked 18th. I don't like it, Captain Barry. Nor should you. You're ranked only 7th.
Well, there are good men ranked above me.
Oh, blast the good men. Most of them were afraid of their necks and held back at the beginning, didn't they? You've more reason for anger than I. And I told as much to the Congress. You should get double credit for volunteering in the beginning, taking command of the first vessel. But what did they rank you? 7th. And myself, the 18th down the line.
Patience, lad. You'll get the credit you deserve, all in good time. Oh, by the way, I have something for you.
Hmm?
My wife requests you to do her the honor of flying this from your ship.
A flag? What, she made it for me?
For your new ship, Captain Jones.
Well, well. Tell her I'm honored. And the Bonhomme Richard will fly this flag proudly.
That flag flying the mast of John Paul Jones' ship was the first American flag saluted by a foreign power. With it, the Bonhomme Richard went into battle in John Paul Jones' greatest victory. It was off Flamborough Head, England, he encountered the HMS Serapis, 60 guns to the 45 smaller guns of the Bonhomme Richard. The battle was terrible in violence. And with his own vessel sinking under him, the gallant John Paul Jones was called upon by the British to surrender. He made his historic reply,
"I've not yet begun to fight!"
And he went on to board and capture the British man of war. His own ship sank the following day. The moment I heard of Jones' victory, I went to Captain Barry.
Yes, Asa, I've heard the news, but it doesn't surprise me. I expected no less from John Paul Jones.
Oh, what about us, Captain Barry? When do we sail again?
My sailing days are at an end, he said.
You're at an end?
I've just received these official papers.
After all we've been through?
If it's action you crave, Asa, you better sign with another ship.
Action? Didn't we have more action than any of them? Oh, maybe they weren't battles everybody heard about, but the jobs we got were more important than battles. Without them, we'd have lost the war.
We did the jobs they gave us, eh, sir?
Dirty jobs they were, too. What thanks do you get? Captain Jones was right.
No. He was wrong, eh, sir? These are the papers I got this morning. Read them.
Oh, yes, Captain.
Barry.
Yes, say, sir. It's true.
No, I must be dreaming, Captain.
It's a big job, eh, sir?
Big? What could be bigger than commander of the whole American Navy?
I'm afraid in the future, eh, sir, you'll have to address me as Commodore.
That was Commodore John Barry's last assignment. He continued to serve and was head of the Navy after the Revolution when he died in 1803. He lived to see his friend John Paul Jones leave the American service in 1782 to accept the rank of Rear Admiral with Russia. After reorganizing the Russian Navy, Jones went to Paris, and there he died in 1792.
That is the story of two men who fought the American Revolution at sea. But history is a strange thing. To John Paul Jones, it brought quick recognition. Today, his remains are interred at the Naval Academy at Annapolis. And his grave bears this inscription: "He gave our Navy its earliest tradition of heroism and victory." The body of Commodore John Barry lies buried in a churchyard in Philadelphia. Some men have given to John Paul Jones the title of the father of the American Navy. But through the years, an ever-growing faction of Americans has disputed the granting of the title, in the belief that it rightfully belongs to the man who so unselfishly devoted his life to his country, Commodore John Barry.